to Philippians in chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These words of Paul to the Philippians have withstood the winds of time and all the critics. Amazing words. Very powerful part of the scripture in the New Testament. Very powerful part of the scriptures in the book of Philippians when Paul was writing the church in Philippi. There is a statement we all face once or many times in our life, and it is this: I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Oftentimes it takes people a long time to be able to make that statement, because when they don't have anything, they're worried. They're concerned. But when they have much, they're at peace and they're feeling God really loves them. But that's not what Paul was saying here. He's saying this. He said, when I'm abased, when I'm lowered, demeaned, degraded, and humiliated, I'm content. Wow. When I'm lowered, when I'm demeaned, when I'm degraded, when I'm humiliated, I'm content. Most people today, when they're lowered or demeaned or degraded or humiliated, get out their phone and text somebody. They want to get somebody going with them on some sort of a text or a Facebook or a Twitter or something that they can get some shoulders that they could lean on, some agreement that they're just going through it and it's not right. Paul never said that there. He trusts God. He literally 100% trusts God. And today in the church world that we live in, there's a lot of confidence in things, but not a lot of confidence in God. There's a lot of trust in possessions, but not a lot of trust in God. The reason I say that is because when people lose their things, their emotions change quite rapidly. Right. When they lose their possessions of some sort, their emotions change rapidly. Sometimes they say statements like this: why has God done this to me? Why am I going through this? What have I done wrong? Then they go to God in prayer. And they say, God, forgive me of my sin. God, forgive me of whatever I've done to cause this to happen. Then they go to their family members and say, dear or honey, if I've been upset lately, if I've said things that aren't right lately, forgive me. You know, it really is. I know the Bible says that if I don't treat my family well, God won't answer my prayers. So family, forgive me. You know, just really, I just feel bad or whatever. And they kind of move it up a notch or two by mowing the lawn or doing the dishes or cleaning the house or helping around the, whatever it may be. There's always a guilt factor when you are demeaned or lowered, degraded, humiliated. There's this sense of guilt, and you allow the enemy to rage at that point of your emotions, that there is something that you've done wrong. Well, Paul's stating here that the Philippians hadn't done anything wrong. They were there for him at all times, but there was a period where sometimes that he was abased. Whenever you walk with God, there's going to be times when there are struggles. You know, we live in a modern day Christianity, and even in the day where Christianity was new in its infancy, and up to this point, this very moment, Christianity is not a comfortable religion or relationship. When you're really living for God, there's a lot of discomfort that comes, but you have to learn to be able to be content. Then there's those times, if you'll allow me to say this, where you abound, where you thrive, you flourish, you prosper, you proliferate, you overflow. Everything is just magnificent. Anything you touch turns to gold. Everything you say is the right thing at the right time. It's just, you are just so flourishing. You prosper. You get a raise at work. You get a new position. You're just overflowing with just blessings. It's like you almost want to say, and you do because you get all caught up in it, I just can't believe this is happening. Don't ever use the words with God, I can't believe. Because the Bible says, just believe. We oftentimes call people on the phone and say, oh boy, this has been so great, I can't believe it. Well, don't use the words, I can't believe it. Say the words, I believe it. But we find ourselves really content there. And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we allow ourselves to become high-minded, arrogant, because we are so overflowing with blessings and so prospering and so flourishing, and we're thriving in such a great way that we're just feeling a little bit above the person across the aisle in church, or above the person that lives next door, or the person at work, or whatever it may be. Don't ever allow that to happen. Always go back to the statement, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Don't let your Christianity become a religion. Keep it in a relation with Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself in your life in such a way that there's always that contentment, no matter what. Your goal is not to live here on earth, because we are, the Bible says, traveling through or sojourning through. We are heading for our place called heaven, to the city of God, to that great city whose foundations were built by God. Amen. We have a future. We have a hope. We have something to look forward to. And what a statement, which can be a pillar and a foundation of your faith, that the Lord will provide no matter what state you're in. He'll always provide. He'll never let you down. You know, if you study Elijah, it's so great that, you know, he proclaims a drought in 1 Kings 17. He proclaims a drought, and the ravens come and feed him through the drought. They take care of him. You know, even though he was demeaned, degraded, and humiliated, and lowered, he was being provided for. Contentment is based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not how fat the wallet is or how thin the wallet is. Not how big the house is or how small the house is. Not which neighborhood you live in or what neighborhood you don't live in. Or what university you go to or what university you don't go to. Contentment is based upon our relationship with God. Philippians 4:19 and said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not here to speak on tithing or giving, but I want you to know that a lot of people put that scripture on their sun visor of their car, on their mirror in the morning. They have it written down in their office. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, that is one of the most popular scriptures in the New Testament. Almost as popular as John 3:16. But let me tell you something. If you're not going to get these riches given to you till you live out the verses prior to that, and just in a paraphrase, that you give, that you share, that you become unselfish towards God and unselfish in your giving and the care of the church. It just doesn't all of a sudden happen. You know, you're not going to get the pressed down, shaken together, running over. Because the Bible says that's going to come by the same measure that you give from. That's the same measure that you shall receive. So I want you to understand that. And Jesus stated that he came to give us a life and that life more abundantly. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. Let me stop there to tell you that the enemy does come. And he comes into your door of your home. He comes in at work. He comes in a relationship. He'll try to steal. He'll try to kill. He'll try to destroy your dreams, your hopes, what you're trying to do in your destiny. He'll come in and he'll do anything he possibly can. And he'll use every emotion that he possibly can. And he'll put you in a place of guilt. And you lose your contentment because you're battling an enemy that's trying to destroy you and kill you and steal from you. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, or you may have life, or we may have life, and that they, or you, or I, or we, may have it more abundantly. We may have a life that is abundant. You know, we're going to have a life that he's going to help us through. It may get discomfortable at times. It may be a struggle at times. That struggle may last longer than a day. It may last longer than a month. It may last several years. But be content, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Old Testament has many examples of God's provision when it seems there is no provision. Where men cannot and will not help when help is desperately needed. And we can take that into the modern times before I read the scripture over there in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. But let me tell you something. We're living in a day today where men cannot help you in your situation, even though we try to see if they'll help us. We make the phone call. We put ourselves in an embarrassing situation. We open up ourselves to the world, and men cannot help. And when help is desperately needed, I'm telling you, the greatest thing I could ever tell you today is man is not your source. God is your source. Now in Joshua, entering into the promised land, Joshua 1, 5 through 9. And let me tell you before that, they entered into the promised land. Now, in the normal summer, fall, the Jordan was only 100 feet wide, shallow, just kind of running along. But in the spring, it was 1 mile wide and flowing with depth of water, overflowing its banks, and it was impossible to pass through it. And that's when they crossed it, in the spring, when it was an impossibility. They went into the promised land. God was there with them. But listen to what he said. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Let me tell you, the word meditate means to muddle. It means to speak it. In other words, we should be speaking God's word instead of about complaining about what's wrong. Have you ever caught yourself just complaining? You know, with your wife or with your mate, just complaining. You'll spend an hour, you started off complaining, you felt bad. At the end of the hour, you felt worse. Because you complained about everything that was wrong. And then if you really start getting with it, sometimes you get in a fight with your mate. Things just, everything just breaks apart. But if you speak the word every day, if you meditate or you speak out God's promises, and you memorize God's word, the Bible says that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Because you're speaking out the word. You're declaring what God has promised, not what is wrong. I want to tell you a little secret. Can I tell you a little secret? God already knows what's wrong. So does your mate. So does your husband. So does your wife. So does your best friend. They already know what's wrong. You already know what's wrong. Instead, declare the word. Kathy and I have begun to do this. We begin to say, God is going to bring our dreams to pass. God is going to take us through this storm. God is bigger than the problem. God is there for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Instead, and all of a sudden, we start feeling better. Because we start believing what we know is true. You see, we know what's wrong, but we want to know what is true. Amen. So I want to challenge you to do that. To do that. When you're alone in your car, pray. When you're driving a long distance, pray. Don't think about what's wrong. God already knows what's wrong. Has God given you a promise? Please raise your hand if God has given you a promise. Has God given you more than one promise? Raise two hands. Praise God. If God has given you four promises, sit down on the ground and raise both legs. There you go. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you can't sit down and God has given you more than up to four promises or more, just go like this with your hands. Okay? There you go. Amen. But let me tell you something. God does not and cannot lie. He will see these promises fulfilled, but we put a blockage to those promises when we start complaining about what is wrong. We should start confessing who God is in our life. And let me tell you, there's nothing going on in your life today, or if we combined all our struggles today, and let's just combine all the struggles of the people who aren't here this morning that are elsewhere. Let's bring their struggles in. Oh, wait a minute. Let's bring the struggles of everybody since 1941 that has attended the Church of God in San Pablo to this very moment. Let's just take all their struggles. Well, let's go a little further. Let's take all the struggles of the 15 million constituents that attend a Church of God every Sunday around this world. Let's take all their struggles. Let me tell you something. Well, may I have to take it a little bit further. Let's take all the struggles of the body of Christ in the world. Wait a minute. Let's take it even further. Let's take all the people, the 7 billion plus people who live on planet Earth. All their struggles. God is greater than all the struggles. God can bring it to pass. Hallelujah to the Lamb. His promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. In Christ, through us. We can believe God, and we can confess what God says is ours. We can continue to say, God will bring it to pass. God is going to bring my dream and my hope to pass. God is going to make everything right. God is my God, and I believe that He'll do it. So we have to be able to meditate and know the Word, to speak it. Not hide it, but speak it and declare it's right. And then you will have good success. God doesn't want us to fail. We're not failures. We are successful. We're God's children. We're born again. We're Spirit-filled. We're baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. We are saved, sanctified, and we are the children of the living God. Amen. With a promise of eternal heaven with God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Praise His mighty name. And it goes on, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. That's given four times, that last verse, in the book of Joshua. Let me read it again. I want you to get it in your spirit. I know you've read it. I know you know it. But memorize it and speak it out. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What he's really saying there is be content. Be content. No matter what you go through, be content. It's going to work. Everything's fine. It's God leading you. He led them from a terrible life in Egypt. A terrible life. A life where they were in the miry clay. He led them out of Egypt. But he could not lead them straight away because they had not been taught how to battle yet. So he took them to a place called the Red Sea. They could not get out on the left or the right. They could not go backwards because here comes the Egyptians. 45,000 chariots, 25,000 horsemen, 15,000 soldiers, and Pharaoh leading it, the best of his army, coming after them. But God showed them that no matter where you're at and what you're going through, He will divide the waters and take despair and turn it into a song on the other side of the sea. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Second example is Elijah and the widow woman at Zarephath. Wow. What an amazing story. This is a miracle that is amazing to me. He's done getting fed by the ravens. The river has run dry, or the brook has run dry. So he stands him up, and logically, as humans, we would think, all right, let's move over to a place now to where I can really get some water. I'm getting a little tired of this meat here. I want to get some vegetables. I want to get some carbs in me. I want to get over there and really get with it. I just want to sit at the table. I want a glass of water. He says, I have spoken to a woman. And commanded the widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. He prepared him for what he was about to go through. How many know that God will prepare us before we go through something? He will prepare us, but sometimes we complain so much that we don't notice His preparation. So all of a sudden we start going through it. And we didn't realize that we were supposed to be prepared for it. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to stop complaining and start being content. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Indeed, the widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." He knew what to say to her because God prepared him. "Please give me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But this is amazing what she said. In verse 8, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.'" So he's letting Elijah know that he's going to be there and he's going to be living there for a while. "And I've commanded a widow to provide for you. I've commanded this widow to bring provision into your life." But when he speaks to her and he says, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little jar in an oil. And see, I am gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Die. So all of a sudden, this whole thing that God has spoken to him, he's prepared him for this. He has commanded her. She just all of a sudden threw it away. Now sometimes when we go through something, even if we're prepared, all of a sudden we're challenged by a statement and we get nervous that we're probably in the wrong place at the wrong time. Maybe this isn't where I need to be, and maybe this isn't where God wants me to dwell. Sometimes people go to church and they start to hear the word and the truth, and that word and truth starts to stir them a little bit, and they say, "Maybe I shouldn't be at this church. Maybe I should get to the other church where it was a little bit more comfortable for me." Or sometimes people go to church and they're there and they're challenged to do something and they say they're going to do it, but then they realize they can't do it. Then they get discomforted in their life. Let me tell you something. Where God plants you, he will water you and you will grow there.
Amen.
But listen. We're going to die. And Elijah said here, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son." What he's saying there all of a sudden is, go ahead, make your stuff what you're going to do and die. But make sure I get some food first. But then he adds to it, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." She then realizes that this is the man. Now you see, you didn't see this before. This is the man, the prophet that God spoke to me about, that I was supposed to be prepared and ready to feed. Sometimes, church, we don't recognize the people God sends for us to care for.
That's right.
The word's given, she realizes it, so she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. It's as though when she was reaching in to get meal, she met God's hand putting the meal in. You see, church, when we obey God and we trust God, when we reach in to get more, you'll meet God's hand putting more in before you take it out. Amen. It may look empty, but when you reach in, God's going to reach in and put it there. As you reach out, it's going to come out something in your hand. Believe me, God makes a promise, and we have to be content. They were abased. They weren't prospering. They were abased. They were demeaned, humiliated, lowered, confused. But all of a sudden, when the obedience was there, she put God first, not the prophet. She put God first. She obeyed God. Church, whatever you do, always obey God first.
Amen.
And He will bless you. He will make sure that your barns are full, your vats overflow, your bin is full. He will make sure that it'll never run out. Obey God first. The third example that I want to give you, I hope you're enjoying, first of all this word. The third one I'd like to give you is one that is very, very popular. And Elijah, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And the widow woman who lost her husband was Obadiah, the prophet. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Take my two sons to be slaves. This world wants to, by the leading of the devil and all the things, the liberalism is trying to enslave our families today. This world has got so many people in debt that if we're a paycheck away from being enslaved to the world in such a way that we'll never see the light of day, and that's what the enemy wants. But she did the smart thing. She went to the man of God. She said, "I'm in trouble here. I don't know what I'm going to do." So Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and you then pour it into the vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Now let me tell you something, my friend. I'm saying this to you so clearly. Listen to God. Listen to the voice of God. Don't run out of vessels, because as long as you have a vessel, God's going to fill it. Don't let the world stop up your vessel. Don't let the world come in and clutter up where God wants to fill up. Don't let the world just take the wells of your heart and block them so there's not a spring up a well. Don't let the enemy of your soul confuse you and get you so hardened in heart that you do not realize what God is trying to do. She was about to lose her family, and he said, "What do you have?" She didn't have anything. He said, go find some vessels and bring it in. And when she did, shut the door. One commentator, I was reading about this many years ago, and the commentator said that it was actually Elijah. When she brought him in, Elijah came in and shut the door. And they had a behind-the-door miracle in the family. I tell you, right now, I think some of the families that I know and some of the families across this nation and throughout this world need a behind-the-door miracle with their families. Amen? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. Let the vessels come in. God will fill them. And when you run out, God will stop filling them because he is not going to waste his blessings on a vessel that is not there. There is a spiritual truth that I want you to hear. Open up your spiritual ears and listen for where you may be or where you want to be. Our text, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now listen to this. This is the part I wanted you to hear at the end. There's the I can. It's really amazing when you look at this in a way so many live today. The I can realize that the Lord will give strength in times of need and desire for help where man cannot help. The I can group. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and 31. The Holy Spirit's power ignites in you. You can accomplish what needs to be done no matter what state you are in. That's that power of the Lord just ignites nothing. There's an explosion of power that gives you the confidence you need to climb the mountain, to vault the wall, to swim the ocean, and to ride the winds of the storm of life. You have confidence. You can take every day as it comes because you're content and the Spirit of God has ignited in you the power and you trust God. You see, I can means this. Be able to. Be likely. Be allowed to. Be acceptable. Be possible. That's what the I can says. Then there's the I may group. Yeah, you know, they go to church too. The I may. The apathetic. The planners that plan but never complete what they planned. You know, the starters who never finish. They talk the game but never get into the game. Always meaning well but never reaching the goal set. Come on now, you know what I mean. I may get this done. I may do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I may. What I may means is this. Indicate possibility. Indicates that something could happen. Indicates permission. Indicates right. Indicates requests or suggestions. Indicates wish. I will. Then there is this group. You see, you can be an I can person, I may person, or you can be an I will person. Then there, this I will group who make the choice to go beyond the I may to the I will because they know they can. Hear me now. They know they can, so they go to the I will. Because the empowerment is there to give them confidence and to take them through the contentment and victory. Amen. The I will do this. I think it's an amazing. Matthew 19 and 21, and behold, a woman who had suffered from the discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I can only touch his garment, I will be made well. She went from I can. She said, I'm not an I may person. She went from I can to I will. I will be made whole. I will be healed. I will not allow this suffering any longer to be in my life. I'm going to touch him no matter what it takes. I will be healed.
Amen.
Are you with me, church? I will means to choose, part of the mind that makes decisions. I will. I choose to do this. The power to decide. The Holy Ghost gives you that power to decide. Determination. Desire. A want to. Do you have the want to? I heard a message 30 years ago by a Church of God in Christ preacher. And I listened very intently to this message. And the name of the message is Want To. And he'd always ask the people through it, do you have the want to? The want to. The desire, the I will, in other words. Do you have the I will? The want to. The Lord will always strengthen you as you learn to live this life relying on his provision and care. He'll always do that. Paul was making this very clear to all that no matter what state he found himself in, he was content. He's content. I want to ask you this morning, are you content? Do you really trust God? Are your problems bigger than God, or is God bigger than your problems? You know you can. But have you slipped into I may? Or are you that I will person? Because, you know, it's not about God exploding power in you. That's not what Paul was trying to say there. He was saying that no matter what you go through, strength will be there to carry you through. Strength will be there to take you to the other side of that river. Strength will be there that you can swim the ocean. Strength will be there that when the winds of life and the storms of life come and try to toss you to and fro, he will be there and strengthen you because you have chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what goes on. He is your Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Too many believers today are not content. They are miserable and seeking to use their own means to find spiritual contentment that only the Lord can provide through his provisional power. You know, we have a lot of strength in ourselves. We have strength to get up in the morning, strength to drink coffees, strength to make decisions, strength to go to work, strength to come home from work, strength to choose what we want to watch on TV, strength to make decisions for our families, our children. If you're a leader, it's your business, your strength to make decisions for your employees. There's all this strength. But I'm not talking to that strength. I'm talking to the strength to where it comes to where it's not man, but God. Church, the church has to believe, has to trust, has to be content with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. That's the peace that they see in you when you're at work. That's the peace that your children that may be not living for God and struggling and hard to be around, but they see something in mom and dad. They see something in brother or sister. They see something in a sibling. There's a peace, there's a contentment, and they know that that's what they need. Amen. It's not what you own or what you do not own. It's not how full or how empty you feel. The contentment comes from knowing and trusting that Jesus will strengthen you. The knowing that you can will take you past the I may to the I will. Where do you sit today?